people often ask me, after I see them after Rosh Hashanah, they ask me, how was Rosh Hashanah in the yeshiva? My standard answer to that question is, we'll see. Ask me next year on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the truth of the matter is that until tomorrow evening at 6:55 p.m., when it's the Shkias Achama, only then I will know how my Rosh Hashanah was. Because everything that happened to me and to everyone else during this past year depends on what kind of Rosh Hashanah we all had. And we don't know what that is till the very end of the year. Satmar Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once said a beautiful ha'ara on a pasuk, the famous pasuk, a pasuk in Tehillim. Tiku b'chodesh shofar, kesel yom chagenu. Which is the pasuk that's referring to Rosh Hashanah. So the Satmar Rebbe pointed out that Rosh Hashanah is unique among all the yomim tovim, that it is the only yontif in which the moon is not visible. Pesach and Sukkot are on the 15th of the month, it's a full moon. Even Shavuos is on the 6th of the month, the moon is visible. Yom Kippurim, 10th of the month, the moon is visible. But Rosh Hashanah, since it occurs on the first day of the Chodesh, the moon isn't visible. So the Satmar Rebbe said that that's a metaphor for the entire Yontif. It's bakese, it's hidden, it's covered. And no one knows what Rosh Hashanah is going to be like until the end of the year. You know, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Tzadik Livracha, used to say, sometimes we see someone, an older man, he catches a cold in the middle of the winter, in December. The cold turns into a cough. Cough turns into bronchitis. Bronchitis turns into pneumonia. And finally, somewhere in the middle of the winter in February, the man, because he's older, passes away because he can't fight off the pneumonia. So when people view that, they say to themselves, well, he caught a cold in December, it turned into a cough, turned into bronchitis in January, it turned into pneumonia in February, and unfortunately the man died. Chaim Shlomitz says that's not the way it happened. He caught the cold on Rosh Hashanah. And it was Gepaskin that he would have that cold on Yom Kippur. And that's when he caught the cold. Caught the cold on Rosh Hashanah. Unfortunately, most people don't realize this. Most of us, especially you, that you're young and that you're healthy, your parents are probably relatively young, probably hopefully healthy, more or less prosperous. So we're lulled into this sense of complacency that, you know, we've been around until now, we'll be around next year. And that's not true. That's absolutely not true. There are no chazakis. It's not like in a mominis that I'm a muchsak. We're not muchsak in anything. We're not muchsak in our health. We're not muchsak in our wealth. We're not muchsak in anything. Comes Rosh Hashanah, there are no givens. Nothing is to be taken for granted. Everything is renegotiated. That's what it means. We say in Slichas every morning, Gedalim v'roshim dafaknu dolasecha. We pound on your doors like poor people and paupers. And certainly the pashtus of that statement in the Slichas is that we're roshim and we're dalim, we're poor when it comes to mitzvahs and when to zchuyos. But there's another touch to that pasuk. And that is that even the wealthiest man on Rosh Hashanah, a person that could be worth a fortune of money, but on Rosh Hashanah, as he comes into the din, he's mamish like a pauper. Because all of his wealth can dissipate in a matter of days. And if you don't think that that's true, all you have to do is pay attention to the news. And what 9/11 was to this country before Rosh Hashanah 7 years ago, what has happened over the last year, and particularly over the last month, and acutely over the last week, shows us that nobody is secure. And even the biggest millionaire can be wiped out overnight. The man who is chief executive officer and president of a company, an investment bank called Bear Stearns, on one Friday afternoon in March, he was worth $900 million. That's not a guzma. The next Monday morning, where Bear Stearns was taken over by another company, J.P. Morgan, the man went from $900 million to be worth $10 million. Now, to you and I, $10 million is still a lot of money. But if you're worth $900 million and then you lose 90% of it, you feel like a pauper. And this has happened over the entire country. People who were fabulously wealthy today have seen everything wiped out. And that's what it means, Gedalim v'roshim v'fakdum d'rosech. Rosh Hashanah is we start from scratch. There's nothing given. There's no chazakis. There's no status quo. We approach this, and anything can happen to our health, to our wealth, and even to our abilities. You know, there's a perplexing medrash, a pasuk in this week's parsha, Vayelech Moshe. Ein vayelech el loshen teichacha. Chazal say that when it says vayelech Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a musar shmos. But if you look in the subsequent psukim, it doesn't seem that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them anything that resembles a musar shmos. The pasuk merely says vayelech Moshe. Vayidaberes hadvorim ho'elo kol Yisrael, vayemer aleihem ben mea v'esim shana anoichi hayoim, I'm 120 years old, lo yuchal oid lo tzeis v'levoi, I can no longer come and go, v'ashem omar ilai, lo yisavores hayarin hazeh. Where is the Musar Shmos? Where is the Teichacha? The answer is, and people's reaction to that statement, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can no longer go. You know what the people's reaction to that was? Shteitn medrash. V'loy lakalim hameroitz, omrav tanchuma hamikra zeh medabra b'Moshe. Ketzad. Esmol hoya oiler la rakia kanesher. And achsha hoya mevaki shlavers hayardein ven a yachal. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you could do anything. You were oiler la rakia kanesher. You soared with the eagles. And now you say you can't even cross the yardein? What's a gevorin? What happened to you, Moshe? Moshe that took us out of Mitzrayim, that split the sea, that took care of us for 40 years, that gave us water, that gave us everything, that fought Sichon and Og, that led us in battle, that put down rebellions, the whole career of Moshe Rabbeinu. State Midrash Weiter. Esmal hoyu malachi maratzin leblefona v'achshav hu oimer ki yagarte b'nei ha'af ha'achema. Malachim trembled in front of you. And now you can't? You're afraid? Meshe Rabbeinu, gevalt. What happened to you? The answer is very simple. And here is the shmuz. Hashem Omar Eli Loi Savar as Hayard in Azeh. While the Rebbeinu Lamad Gehasen. Because Rebbeinu Shlom said, you can't. And the mightiest person is powerless. That's the biggest Musar Shmuz that there is. That Meshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden can't. The Kol Yochol almost. Who could do anything? And now he can't even go with the rest of us there at Israel. That's the rest of Mr. Shmuz that there is. This was the message of one of the most powerful, albeit one of the shortest Musar Shmuzin that were ever given, perhaps. The Musar Shmuz was all of 9 words. The first and only chief rabbi of the city of New York was Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. The community in New York, circa 1900, the late 1800s, around 1900, they brought over a Meshunetika Talmud Chacham from Europe. His name was Rav Yaakov Yosef. The yeshiva, Yeshivas Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, is named after Rav Yaakov Yosef. He was a Mishunadika Talmud Chacham. And he was a Mishunadika Darshan. And he used to give Shabbos Shuvah Drasha on the Lower East Side, in one of those massive shuls, a few of which still exist out of Yom HaZeh. And hundreds of people used to come to hear Rav Yaakov Yosef and the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha that he used to give. Hundreds of people. He used to walk from Williamsburg to hear the Drasha. And without so much as a note, no Mar Mekaymus, he would speak for hours. Not like today, that speak more than 20 minutes, you lose your audience. He went on for hours. That year, before Yamin Naroyim, Yaakov Yosef had a stroke. He was partially paralyzed. He was in the hospital for a long time. The question was, would he be able to give the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha? So come, he prepared. He said, I'm going to give the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. So Yaakov Yosef gets up to the pulpit. He starts the drasha and he says, the Gemara zokt. And he stopped. paused for a minute or two, and he said, "The Gemara zokt." And he stopped. And he paused again. He said, "The Gemara zokt." And then he says, "Ich weiß nicht afilu welche Gemara ich mein." Which means, not only did I forget the Gemara, but I even forgot what Gemara I wanted to say. Because the stroke had affected his mental capacity. And the man who could darshan for hours without a note, quoting Gemaras and Midrashim, Baal Peh, now couldn't even remember Velcha Gemara. Which Gemara? And that is what Rosh Hashanah is about. What happened to Rabbi Yankiv Yosef was Gepaskent on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a scary yontif. And I feel badly for all of you. Because I and the people of my generation, people who are your Rabbeim, we saw people that had an Emes Adin. We saw how Rav David Zichron Levrocha the Mashgiach used to daven Shachris. And that's for him to get out the word Hamelech took several minutes. We saw the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, Rav Ruderman. He would cry before Tkiya Shofar. He was so scared. And any of those people from that generation, you could see the Emes Hadin, because they knew what it was about. Unfortunately, we're not like that. That door is V'Teilonu Tumuros. But that's what it is. Nothing short of that. Your health, the health of your parents, everything is on the line. Starting tomorrow with the next 10 days. But the Ribbono Shel'Olam has given us etzes. How to be zeicha b'din. And one of those etzes is what the Medrash tells us on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ha'adaisi b'chem ha'yayim es ha'shamayim ves ha'oretz es ha'chayim ves ha'moves nasati lefanech." Moshe Rabbeinu says in the name of the Ribbono Shel'Olam, "Ha'chayim ve'ha'moves nasati lefanech." I put it to you, life and death, ha'brocha v'ha'klola. Uvacharta b'chayim l'mantichi atav ezarim. Mesh Rabbeinu tells them, choose chayim. Zot the Medrash. Amar av chagi v'loyayid el shanasati l'chem shnei drochim. I put in front of you two pairs. El shenichnasti lifni mishuras hadin v'amarti l'chem uvacharta b'chayim. But I did something extra special. I did something lifni mishuras hadin. Not only did I put in front of you achayim et hamoves ha'kol abrocha v'aklola, but you know what else I did for you? I went the extra mile. I went lifni mishuras hadin. And I told you, v'marti lachem u'bacharta b'chay. Ad kan loshen ha'medrash. What's the lifting Mishuras Hadin? You put in front of them, Hachayim v'amodes, Habrocha v'aklola. He gave him an eitz atayim, and he said, "Ubacharta b'chayim, zok the midrash." No! That was a gavalda go'uftu. That was a lifting Mishuras Hadin. Mesh Rabbeinu did something that didn't require, but he went rachmonis, and he told him, "Mishunah dikeitzu, and I told you, Ubacharta b'chayim, lifting Mishuras Hadin." Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, what's the gewaltige lifting Yeshurah Satin? What's the yuftu? The yuftu is that in this pasuk, like the gewaltige chiddush, and that chiddush is that uvacharta b'chayim, that by making the commitment to be better, you already have the schus. Uvacharta b'chayim is not merely eitzah teiva. It's a chiddush, and the chiddush is to be mekabel, to be better. To make a commitment to be better, all automatically right away gives the person that schus. If you demonstrate to the Ribbono Shel Olam that you want to be better, he gives us the schar right away. And how do you demonstrate that? You make a down payment. Because when you make a down payment, you're telling somebody, I'm serious. When you're looking for a used car in the paper, and you go to the fellow's house and you look over the car and you say to him, you know, it seems like a great car, but I'm not a mechanic. Can I take it to my mechanic? Here, I'll give you $1,000. Down payment. I'm serious about this. So even the car may be worth $8,000, $10,000, a used car. But the $1,000 is a demonstration of my seriousness about this. And that is what the Eitzah of Uvacharta B'chayim is. Make the commitment to improve and put down the down payment. And you do that by being mekabel things over these last next 10 days. And what you have to do, so you have to take out a pen and paper and you have to make a list. And you have to say, this is where I plan to improve. It shouldn't be a very long list. It should be a couple things. It should be things that you think are doable. But make the down payment. Show the Ribbono Shel Olam that you're serious. And if you think that that's somewhat juvenile, the Rashiva Zatzal always used to say over before the Yom Ha'Ra'im that Reb Chaim Oizer, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, used to do this before every Yom Kippur. And if you start when you're this young as you are, and every year you improve in some area, by the time you get older, you will be talk to a different person. Not only will you have the maila of a vacharta b'chayim, but you will have an accumulation of things that I worked on over the year. Of showing your commitment, of telling the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm serious. And there's another way of showing your commitment. And that is that over these next 10 days, act differently, talk differently, daven differently. Learn differently. It's not gonna last. But merely doing something like that over the next 10 days has tremendous value. Why does the Shulchan Aruch say that in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even if you're Zohir, not Zohir a whole year, you're eating Pas Palter, but here you should be Zohir in Aseres Yemei Tshuva from eating bread or cookies that have been baked by a non-Jew. It's not going to last. Come after Yester Yom Kippur, I'm going to eat entomins, I'm going to eat this stuff. But the fact that we change and we break the heracle, it's not life as usual. It's different. It's a new start. It's a new unhugging. I may come in every morning in the first 10 minutes of Seder, I schmooze with my chavrusa, but these 10 days, I'm not going to do it. Maybe my Shemoneh Esrei takes me 3.5 minutes and then I'm out in the hall. But these 10 days, I'm going to be different. And that does a Meshunadika thing to people. Because it tells us this is what we're supposed to act. And we've gotten so used to the way we do act that it doesn't faze us anymore. I'm going to talk to my parents differently. The way you're supposed to talk to a parent. And even though I may slip up during the year, and you probably will, but at least I've reset the clock. And that's important. It's a break from the past. You know, there's a very famous shmooze that I'm sure many of you have heard from Reb Chaim Shulevitz, Zeher Tzadik Livracha. But I want to tell you the context of when that shmooze was said. The Gemara says in Saita that when they took Yaakov Avinu to bury him by the Moras HaMachpelah, Zot the Gemara Asa Esau of a Kama Akiv. Asa said, not so fast. And there are 8 plots in the Moras HaMachpelah, Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, he already buried Leah. The last plot is mine. So the Gemara goes to a whole Shaki Retari. Amale Zavinte. So at the Gemara, sorry, Ace, if you sold it. You sold it, lock, stock, and barrel. Zati Gemara, Amalahu, Havaligrasa. You say, I sold it? Where's the bill of sale? Where's the deed? Where's the contract? Amalahigrasa, Baradim, it's Royim. We left the contract in Egypt. I don't care. Get it. Zot Gemara Man Nazel. So who should get the contract? Zot Gemara Naphtali. The Kalal Kalayosa. Naphtali was swift of foot. I didn't get the contract. Zot Gemara Hushim braided Don. Taman Hava. The Akimele Udne. Hushim, the son of Dun, saw this whole thing transpiring. But Hushim ben Dun was deaf. So he didn't hear the shock with Atariah. He didn't hear what was going on. The Asik, he bought it, he didn't buy it. Where's the contract? We're not probably going to go to Mitzrayim. So he says, my high. What's going on? What kind of business is this? The Zayde Yaakov Avinu is laying there in the Oren and you're having a discussion with Esau? What's going on? They said, well, he's tiny, we need the document, we need the star, Naftali's going to Mitzrayim. Have you lost your minds? We're supposed to wait here till Naphtali goes back to Mitzrayim? And Yaakov Avinu, my Zeta, sits over here, Bibi Zion? What kind of business is this? This is an outrage. So the Gemara Shakal Kal Kufa Machi Ereshe. He took a club, and he hit Esav, and he killed him. Nafanot. And then they buried Yaakov Avinu. Frank Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Hushim ben Dan? What's with the rest of everybody? What's with everybody else? What's with Yaakov's sons? What's with all the grandchildren? Why is Hushim ben Doi the big Kanoi? Why him? Why not everybody else? So Reb Chaim Shmuel adds, Dol Ligdo Yesoid in human psychology and human nature. And that is that human beings have the capacity to get used to anything. And everybody else, through the dialogue, the back and forth, the give and take, got used to the situation that Yaakov Avinu is lying there and nothing's happening. And human beings can indeed get used to anything. Hushim ben Dan, that had been in the dark, and all of a sudden he's informed of this, he reacts like you should react, and that is that this is a travesty, and it's intolerable. And he did what everybody should have done. And that is take care of Esav once and for all. But everybody else got used to it. Because human beings can get used to anything. That's the schmooze that Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz said. And now here's the context. On September 6th, 1970, three planes that were leaving Eretz Yisrael for the United States of America were hijacked by Palestinian terrorists. And they landed in Amman, Jordan, where they sat on a runway, because the Palestinians were demanding the release of prisoners. On one of those planes, TWA Flight 741, was Rav Huttner Zeder Tzadik Livrach. Rav Huttner, the Rashiva of Chaim Berlin, was hijacked on a plane. I'm telling you, there was a rash in the Olam HaYeshivas that anyone who lived through it will remember forever. The Tehillim, the learning. In this yeshiva, the Rashiva was misakein that there should be a mishmor of Talmidim learning every night of the week until Rav Huttner gets released, and there had to be a minyan in the Beis Medrash 24 hours a day. I still remember learning with my chavrus at the time, Reb Shragi Neuberger. We were holding a Yevamos Daf Dalet. That's the daf that we learned that night when Rav Huttner was captured. And this went on for several weeks, until finally he was released and he came back to New York, as did the other hostages. But a couple weeks into this scene, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz got up in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim and he said, Rabbeisai, when Rav Huttner was first captured and we said tilling for him, the walls of the Beis Medrash shook. And now, 2 weeks later, yes, we say the tilim, but it's cold and it's uninspired. And there's no hergish and there's no hislavos. And there's no sense of urgency. You know why? Because we got used to the situation that Rav Huttner is captured. And it's just another day at the office. Or another day in the Beis Medrash. Because human beings can get used to anything. Which is one of the greatest saviors of mankind. Because if you couldn't get used to things, we would go crazy sometimes. How do you think people survived the concentration camps? Because even though it was a horrible existence, an unspeakable existence, but they got used to it. Because you can get used to anything. But it cuts both ways. It's the salvation of mankind, but it's the bane of mankind. It's the downfall of mankind. Because we get used to this. We get used to who we are. We get used to the way we daven. We get used to the Lashon Hara that we speak. We get used to the Bittul Torah. We get used to the Zilzul Hayrum U'Mayrum. We get used to the things that we shouldn't do, and we shouldn't see, and we shouldn't read. But we get used to it. And that is what acting on a different madrega during these next 10 days does for us. Because this is the way we should be. And 2 days after Yom Kippur, when you eat something and you don't make a brach on it, you'll say, I did it again, I forgot to make a brach. And it won't be the same. Because come January or February, we're so used to doing the things we are and acting the way we are, it doesn't even bother us, it doesn't even faze us, it doesn't even register. But the Yom Naroim is the time to reset the clock. And to act the way we should act. So even when we do things and we do fall down, as invariably we do, but it won't be the same. We'll catch ourselves. You know, this watch, this is about a minute a month. A minute or two a month. And every month, so I reset it. That's the right time. But if I didn't reset this watch every month, so in 3 months it would be 3 minutes off, in 6 months it would be 6 minutes off, and in 10 months it would be 10 minutes off. So I reset it. Now it's accurate again. It is what it should be. And that's what we have to do in these Yom HaNeroim. We have to act the way we should be. Behave the way we should be. Learn the way we should be. Make the Kabbalas that will be zeichet to that ubacharta b'chayim. The Baruch Hashem will already give us credit for doing it kilu we did it. That's how Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is so scary. But it's also so wonderful. Chance to restart, to begin again, to be zeicha emir tasha, to ksiva ksiva teva. This yeshiva, together with all of our parents and our rabbeim, all of Klal Yisrael, to shnas gula v'yeshua, simcha v'sasai, bias mashiach tzikein, mehera minonim.